used to the unknown. And so going from the unfamiliar, or going from the familiar to the unfamiliar. I think they call that the laws of pedagogy or something to that effect, teaching. And so Jesus was the master teacher. So this parable that Jesus shares seems to have some extra importance, because he begins it and ends it by saying, listen. And then he ends it by saying, if you have ears to hear, hear what I'm saying. All of us have ears, but maybe not all of us have ears to hear. Jesus is imploring us. This is a very crucial teaching. This is a very important lesson that I want to share with you. So we're going to look at the three general aspects here of Jesus' teaching: the seed, the soil, and the sower. What does the seed tell us? What do we know about the seed? Well, the seed is not in its original form. The original form was in creation. So the seed that any farmer sows is one that has come from a previous harvest. And so it is something that has been provided to us from seasons gone by. Because of faith, you have a seed today. You have seed. In John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said this, speaking about himself. He said, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, speaking of himself, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, what happens? It produces many seeds. So Jesus was saying, my life is as a seed. So I am going to allow myself to go through a process here where the identity, where the image, where the look I have right now in a physical form is going to die. But as I die, I'm going to come back in a new form, and it's going to come back in multiple forms of the seed. And so Jesus was saying, I am the seed. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, he speaks to us about who we are. He says that, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, not just of physical seed, not just of the natural seed, but you have been born of the imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. So what is the seed that's in this parable? It's referring to the Word of God. And the power of the Word of God, the power of the seed to multiply, is what Jesus was sharing with us. So Jesus is the Word, and the power of life is in that seed. Amen. So as you receive the Word of God, at any time someone's teaching or sharing or breaking open the Bible, the Lord will even guide you in your disciplines of devotion during the day. Suddenly it feels like something dropped deep in your heart that time. What was going on? The Word of God was going deep into your open soil of your heart. And that seed, as you put trust and confidence and faith in the Word of God, what's going to happen? God's promise is that it's going to multiply. What will it multiply into? Watch and see. Watch and see. Praise God. The other element of the story is the soil. What does the soil represent? The soil represents the present conditions of the human heart. It's a descriptive of the heart response to the word that is sown. It says here, though, that the scripture uses that some people are in verse 15. Some people are. And that word in the Greek is a first person singular present indicative verb, which means it's an action that is taking place at the present time. So this action at present time. So what is the status of the soil at this present time? And so some people are, and he goes on and gives different descriptives. You see, the conditions of the soil in this parable are not predetermined and they're not permanent. They're descriptions of the type of responses that hearts like yours and mine can have to the Word of God. But they are not permanent, frozen in concrete responses. That's not who, I mean, I can be stubborn and self-willed at times, but that's not who I am. Right, Vicki? She agrees. And so it's not a permanent kind of a condition. It's how does human hearts respond to the Word of God? The conditions are not permanent or predetermined. They are just conditional. And so what are the responses that are identified in this teaching that Jesus gives here about the human heart, the heart response to the sowing of the Word of God? Number one is the pathway soil. We have a picture here somewhere. Do we have that picture? Oh, yes. The pathway soil. It's hard soil. It's closed off. It's not open to receive. Anything that lands on it, lands on it. Doesn't go into it, it just lands on top. And so the hard soil is a representation. The pathway soil is of a calloused heart, a closed off heart. And that closed off condition of a heart can be a causation of many things bringing that about. It could be difficult life experiences. Could be a series of disappointments. Could be just bitterness that has been allowed to remain there and never really dealt with, and it's become hardened my soil. But Satan will take advantage of that opportunity. Satan comes along the way and he'll steal those seeds that are sown onto a hard heart, a heart that is a pathway soil. Satan will take advantage of you any opportunity he can. And why give him any advantage? We open our hearts to him to allow the seed to come in. So the pathway soil represents hard soil. The next soil that Jesus mentions is the rocky soil. It'd be like the gravel on the side of the road where the pavement hasn't been laid, but it's gravelly and full of stones. And it has no real substance of good soil or soil that's tillable on the top. I have an uncle whose name was Clem. I love Uncle Clem. Years ago, we lived out near him in the prairie area of Mankato, Minnesota. And that area was known for just very little topsoil and limestone everywhere. And he determined he was going to build a house. He bought a lot and built a house. And so he rented a bulldozer and scraped the top few inches of soil off and found that the limestone bedrock was firmly in place, and he had to go in and drill holes and drop sticks of dynamite. And he put, I remember watching him put that bulldozer right over the top of where he put those dynamites, and then he'd walk away and go to his shed and kaboom. Why, what was he doing? He was trying to break up that soil because there wasn't any place he could dig in deeper to put a foundation in. And so gravelly, rocky soil is an immediate response where there is no root where the seed can actually grow. And so it may germinate because of moisture and happiness for a time, but because there is no place for roots to grow, it becomes very weak and timid, never producing fruit. And so it topples over. The third type of soil is the weeds or the thorns. What are the weeds and the thorns? Well, the weeds and the thorns look a lot like this, I suppose. Receptive to the word that is sown on it, but because of entanglements, maybe entanglements of worry. Is there anybody in here that worries? Anybody here worry? I think we all have worried. There's a number of honest people here. Yeah, we're very thankful for that. Worry is an entanglement. Other things. Focus on things. Things decay. Things rust out. Things get planned obsolescence and are no longer usable. Things are transient. But we sometimes get entangled with things. Jesus says the deceitfulness of wealth. Notice he didn't say wealth. He just said the deceitfulness of wealth. And wealth can become deceitful. Thinking that that's my way for being having security in my life is just to have more, more, more. Or to have the fear that I'm going to lose what I have. Or the fear that I'm not going to have enough. And so deceitfulness. Nothing wrong with wealth. Many of the characters in the Bible were very wealthy individuals. Who've trusted God and been guided by God. But sometimes the entanglements and the deceitfulness of these things. Cause the weeds to grow up. And we just become so confused by my life. And why can't I get the things that I'm looking for and would expect out of my life? Why doesn't it work out the way I want it to work out? Entanglements can cause the thorns to take over. The fourth soil that Jesus mentions is good soil. What is good soil? Good soil is the one that is open to receiving the seed. Years ago when we lived here in Ottawa, Vicki had a job at the local Farm Bureau. And she, what was it called? What was your title, Vic? A soil tester, soil technician. And her job was farmers would bring in samples of their soil from throughout their fields, and they'd bring little vials of their soil to her, And then her job was to mix that and put that through some processes and determine the condition of the soil. And sometimes the soil would be too alkaline, or sometimes it just wasn't right. It needed some nutrients. It needed some treatment and to make it what we would call good soil. Good soil that can produce a crop. And so at times we wonder, what is good soil? Good soil is fruitfulness in action. Good soil is a heart that is open, have ears to hear, and a heart that is receptive. And so good things begin to happen in good soil. Jesus said that there will be some remarkable results. 30, 60, and 100 fold. That got me thinking the other day, so I went to look and did a little research. You know that one kernel of corn in today's agribusiness will produce 2 ears of corn. One kernel of corn will produce 2 ears of corn. And on each ear of corn, there's 800 kernels. Times 2 is 1,600 kernels to 1. Now, if that can be true in the physical, God can make that happen abundantly in the spiritual for you. That what you seem to be lacking in your life, maybe areas of loneliness or emptiness or meaninglessness or purposelessness, if you will just allow Him to put His word into your heart, receive it into your heart. That's being good soil. It's a choice we make, isn't it? It's not something I'm born like, but it is what I choose to do, how my heart is open to receive. And sometimes, where does that word come from? Is it dropping out of a helicopter? No, it typically is spoken by some friend that is hearing your heart and tries to give a word of encouragement, answer back, and provide you some understanding. Sometimes it comes to you in the form of a dream that'll rock your world and wake you up and say, whoa, what was that all about? God can speak to you. He'll speak to you in a teaching. He'll speak to you in a devotion. He'll speak to you in a small group where people care for one another and have each other's backs. God wants you to be successful and productive in this fashion. So God desires so much for us to believe, to open our hearts to Him. You see, I was reading the other day in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Did I give that to you? Oh yeah, here it is. I love this verse. This is God talking to His people. If they're, you know, they're trying to become a nation. They've come out of Egypt and come into Canaan's land, and or just about to. And God's giving them some direction. And they've been a little bit disobedient and stubborn. This day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursings. Now choose life. That was my emphasis there, that underlining. So that you and your children may live. You know, I know you. This last Friday we had a great celebration with the teams. And there were some games going on and some replicas of lookalikes of some of the games. And I just kind of envisioned the other day that this is a let's make a deal moment for Israel. You know, and here's God saying, here you go, behind door number one, I set before you life and death. I set before you door number two, blessing and cursing, you know. And He said, now choose. You know, and the crowd goes, oh, yeah, door number one, it's definitely door number three. And the contestant is just kind of confused and befuddled. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Which door should I choose? And finally, they choose door number three. And it's, bah, wrong choice. And then, of course, they're disappointed. Why? Because their one chance, they've missed it. They just missed it. But here's God saying, I set before you these choices. And He is so into you, so into your heart, and loves you so much. He says, I'm setting these choices before you, but let me tell you what. I'm going to even tell you what you should choose. This is what you should choose over here. Choose life. Choose blessing. Is that a good God or what? He's on your side. He's on my side. He said, go, Mike, go. You can do it. You can do it. Go, Christ community. Go, Christ community. Go, Christ community. Your heart is open to receive the word of God, and He promises good things to those who trust Him. Praise God for that. So you know, Vicky, my wife, I love her because she's been decorating our yard and so many beautiful flowers. Planted some hydrangeas the other day. I guess it was last summer, wasn't it, already? And okay. What was I going to say? Hydrangeas, yeah. Hydrangeas. I didn't know this until just recently, that you can influence the color by what you add to the soil. You put certain, what is it, acidic? Is that what changes it? Acidic content goes into the soil. It causes the colors on those blossoms to change colors. I'm not sure if it's red or blue or which one, what it is, or white. I have no idea what it is. But that concept is true here, because the more faith we add to your soil, the more we become like Him and exude His glory. The more we see His good work being done through us, we begin to see results of the words coming out of our own mouth. Why? Because the Word has been doing its work in my life. And He encourages you to do that. Add to your faith virtue into virtue knowledge. And all of a sudden, the beautiful glory of Jesus Christ becomes evident. Let's move on. We got done with seed and soil. Let's talk about the sower real quickly here today. What about the sower? Well, the sower in this story is confident in the potential of the seed. Confident in the potential of the seed. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let your hands not be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or the other, or whether both will fail." Is that what the word says? Oh. Or whether both will do equally well. You see, God is calling you and I to be sowers of the seed. My Uncle Steve, can I talk about my uncles for a while? Uncle Clem is from my dad's side. Uncle Steve is from my mom's side. And Uncle Steve was a regional representative sales manager for Pioneer Seed Corn. And I remember that man just being so energetic. Yes, sirree. When I was a baby, I didn't even know it, but my mom and dad had told me that Lorenda and Stephen stood up for me at my infant baptism in the Lutheran church and became my godparents. And so from their perspective, that was their commitment to stand with this boy and encourage him any way they can. And I tell you what, even when I did not know what was happening, Stephen was encouraging me, and he was sowing not pioneer seed corn in the natural. He was doing that in his job, but that job allowed him to come back and bless me in spiritual ways. I remember him encouraging me about my involvement in the church, and he would come over to me and slip me a card for a membership to the YMCA, and what's that for? But you see, he was sowing into my life. And the word is encouraging us to don't withhold your hand in the morning. Be a sower. Be a sower. Be a sower. Look at your neighbor and say, be a sower. Be a sower. It's all right. Go ahead. Tell them one more time. They didn't hear it first time. Be a sower. Sow your seed in the morning. Sow it in the evening. Let your hands not be idle. Sow the seed. So Steve was always sowing. And then even in this chapter 4, Jesus gives us another parable that talks about confidence in the seed. Look at Mark chapter 4, verse 26 and 29. Did I get you those verses? Yes. He also, later on that chapter, he says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. Did you hear that? Whether he gets up or sleeps. The seed still does its work. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. You say, well, you know, God, when I figure this out, I'm going to really get involved. When I get this understood, there's a lot of things about the kingdom of God we just won't understand. But we know that the kingdom of God has power, has life. Lives have been changed. We know those are the fruits of the kingdom. Though it happens, how it happens, we don't know how he does it. Let's go on to verse 27. And all by itself, the soil produces. Notice now he says, it's not just the seed. It's also the soil. The soil produces grain. First the stalk, and then the head, and then the full kernel on the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. Praise God. You see, God has confidence in his word. And we have confidence in his word that once it's sown, it will do its work. If you are praying for and believing for children or family members or co-workers, continue. Be a sower in kindness and love. Let that be the atmosphere in which you sow your seed. Let others know that you are a representation of Christ in this world. So the sower is confident in the potential of the seed. The sower is also, he realized that God gives the increase. See, I can't force humans to change. My wife has tried that with me a long time. But the Word of God can bring about change. The seed of God will bring about change. Words can't change human hearts, but Holy Spirit can through me and through you as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 and 7 says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. God makes things grow. Is there any area in your life that seems to be barren or fruitless? Bring it to God. Bring it to God. Worship him and say, God, what are the areas of my life that you can bring increase to? Because I tell you what, he will respond to you. And thirdly, The sower knows that you are called to be a sower. You are called to be a sower. Let me just read a few verses here from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, so from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Although we once regarded Jesus Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. We don't regard anyone according to the flesh. Why? Because he's a new creation. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. There's that word. That God was reconciling, there's that word again, the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. There's that word again. What in the world's going on with that word? That word really, literally in the Greek means restoration. Restoration. Restoration to favor. Strong's Concordance would say, laying an argument to rest. Laying an argument, reconciling the world to himself, laying an argument down. God doesn't want to argue with me. He just wants me to repent. He just wants me to come to see it the way he sees it. And so he says, reconciling. He's given us the message, the word of reconciliation, the seed of reconciliation. Reconciliation means bringing myself, bringing someone else to restoration, finding peace and love, a family that is meaningful and supportive. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us, sowing our seed. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He exchanged himself for me. Praise God. The NIV says in it, it says the farmer went out to sow his seed. That's in the NIV. He went out to sow his seed, a possessive pronoun. It's not in the original text, but it is in the NIV. He went out to sow his seed. You see, I think that's significant because by faith, each one of us have seed. Each one of us have a story, a message, something about our life that is very, very significant to yourself and very, very meaningful for others to hear. You see, God is really after that part of your life. He wants to develop that kernel within your life. I was driving down the road many years ago. I used to be with Farm Bureau Insurance. And I remember seeing a big old combines at harvest time. You've seen them a lot around here, haven't you? This is corn country. I know. The flat land, the rich soil. It's just remarkable what God has blessed us with here in Illinois and southern Wisconsin. I have to add that, by the way. But you see, he's after the kernel. And I looked at it, I saw a combine, and it's almost like the Lord just kind of took me inside that combine as I was considering it. And you know, there's a whole lot of action going on inside that combine. When the corn stalks are being sucked in or the wheat is being mowed down, there's a lot of breaking. There's a lot of shifting. There's a lot of shaking. And there's wind blowing inside of a combine. And the chaff gets blown out the back end, and the seed, the kernels of corn or the seeds of wheat, begin to fall down through the grates and into the hopper. And you see, God is saying to you, if you're experiencing shaking, if you're experiencing things that are unsettling, or it feels like you've got adverse winds blowing on you, He wants you to know it's not for the breaking of you, but it's for the making of you. That He's after you. He's after that seed kernel, that thing that is you, the very experience you've had in your life and all the misery and suffering and hurt that you've experienced, and then the transformative power of the Holy Spirit to bring you into the image of the Son, Jesus Christ. Remarkable stories are being developed in this house today. Even right now, Holy Spirit is speaking to somebody about your past, and it seems so meaningless and purposeless, and all of a sudden, God's going to come with the wind and go, I'm going to blow upon that, and all of a sudden, all that I experienced, all that hurt, now has meaning. I realize what this whole thing was about, that this was about developing the seed of my life, that I could sow it wherever I go. So He's calling you and I to be sowers of seed. Hosea chapter 10. Worship team, would you please come? Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says this: sow for yourselves righteousness and reap the fruit of loving devotion. Break up your unplowed ground. And this next phrase is very critical. For it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and sends righteousness upon you like rain. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for us to go a little deeper with Him. It's time for us to go a little farther with Him, because He wants to take you to new regions of exploration, new regions of blessing, new heights in worship, new depths of understanding in the Word as it's taught and broken open and unfolded for you. He wants to take you there. And so He says, sow for yourselves. Speak to yourself the Word. Speak words of encouragement to yourself. Speak words of encouragement to your children. Give guidance to your children. Speak to those you work with, your neighbors, your friends. Why? Because you're sowing for yourself the seed that He has put within you. Lord, we just thank You today that families are going to be changed because the sowers have come to the earth. Thank You for these here today who receive Your word with open hearts. We know that You have great things, fruitfulness in store, companionship, togetherness, unity in store for us as we trust you with the days that come. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand with me for just a moment? And while you stand, would you kind of make your way out to the aisle? Maybe to your left, come down the aisle that's to your left, and come to the front, and we'll just enjoy a period of